Good morning. It is good to see all of you out this morning to study God's Word with us in hopefully spirit and in truth and learn something from His Word this morning. I know what you're already thinking, right? The title of the lesson this morning and tonight, we'll do two parts, is Running the Race. And you're thinking, Tony, what do you know about running? I've always said I don't run unless somebody's chasing me. And that person that's chasing me has to be bigger than me. Running just to run is not something that I typically did. If you give me a basketball or give me a football to run with, it's something, you know, a goal to try to get to a little bit better. But, you know, to run just to run is not something that I've really ever enjoyed. So you may be asking the question, what do you know about running? Well, what I know about running the race is really just what God's Word has told me about running the race. If you were studying through those verses this morning and reading along in Hebrews chapter 12, you'll notice, especially those first two verses, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We have to understand that there is a race that is placed before us. We need to be part of that race. And then we need to be running to win that race. And I just want to talk to you for a little while this morning and this evening about that race. Now, the Bible compares our lives to numerous things. We may remember phrases like, our life is like a vapor, right? That appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Or maybe, as many of the psalmists and even some in Proverbs have said, you know, our life is like a blade of grass or a flower that withers away. And so it talks, both of them talk about the brevity of life. And then in other places, God's Word, you know, talks about our lives as a journey, right, that we're on, and we're trying to reach the end. And much in the same way that we'll talk about today, we're going to focus on the times in which God's Word tells us that our life is like a race. And so why is it that God's Word compares our life to a race? What are some of the things that are required to run in a race? And we may think about some of the worst things that can, what's the worst thing that can happen that you can think of when you're running that race? A lot of times I think stumbling is the worst thing that can happen when you're running a race. To fall down, to know, and there have been several examples of that, even in the Olympics, where a runner looks to be like they're going to win the race and then they fall. And they have to get up to realize they're not going to win that race. But I love to see those who fall down and get back up and finish to the best of their ability. And even though they may not win that particular race and get that gold medal, certainly at that point, a little bit of pride can be hung around their own neck, that I got up and I finished the course. And so stumbling is one of those things that can happen to us. In Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 12. Again, it says, when you walk, your steps will not be impeded, and if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction and do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. We see in those verses that there are going to be some people that are going to try to cause you to stumble. When you're running this race that God has set before us, there are going to be some that try to cause you to stumble. But He tells us in those verses, if we're following, if we take hold of the instruction that God is giving us, He says, when you walk, your steps will not be impeded, and if you run, you will not stumble. in Proverbs, the 24th chapter, in verse 16, what I was talking about earlier. For a righteous man falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked will stumble in time of calamity. You know, one of the things that I always did when I was coaching was look out for things like this. Right? When a kid makes a mistake on a basketball court or on the football field, how is it that they react to that mistake? I had a friend of mine once that every time he would make a mistake, he would look up at his dad in the stands. Can't have that. Right? You've got to stay focused on what it is that you're doing. You've got to stay focused on the coach's voice, not dad's voice at this point in time. Right? And so it was a distraction to him. So every time he made a mistake, he would look up into the crowd and wonder and look for, you know, what did I do wrong or is everything okay? So it caused him to get up slower. It caused him to run slower and to get his mind back in the game. What happens when we stumble spiritually? I think a lot of times we want to just shut down and quit. But God's word urges us to keep going. And so what I want to do this morning and this evening is examine that race that's talked about. And then take a look at maybe some of the things that can cause us to stumble. But more importantly, what are the things that are going to help us to win that race? If we enter a race, surely we want to win that race. Now we may sometimes, you know, in certain situations, enter a race to just exercise or enter a race to have fun or enter a game to have fun. But if you're one of those people, you're probably not much like me. Because typically if I enter something, I want to win. I may know that it might be difficult, but I want to do my best and I want to win. Even if it's just a board game at the Huntsman House. I've got six kids and a wife, and I want to beat every one of them when we're playing that game. And so that's the attitude that we need to have as Christians. Not necessarily that we're going to push other people down or hurt, because we can work together to get to that goal. But if we're running the race, we might as well run it to win. And so let's talk about that for just a while this morning. The first thing that I want us to look at and see that will help us win is that we need to actually enter the race. We have to be entered into the race. Now, understand that Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that you're running the race. There's no avoiding running the race. But we actually have to enter the race to be able to win the race. Think about that. It's not enough just to know that there's a race going on. All the time people are texting me or telling me, I have a lot of friends that run 5Ks and all of those things. And you know what? I don't even care what a K is or how far it is, because if it's more than a foot, I'm not entering into this race. But I like hearing about other people, right? They're sending me all these things all the time. I'm going to run a 5K, or there's a 5K over here. We can do this. We can do that. Good luck. But I'm not entering it. Right? Think about that. If I don't enter, guess what I'm not going to do? They're not going to let me win the race. Even if I go down there and run or walk in that race and come first and cross that finish line first, they're going to say, we're sorry, you don't have a number. You can't win. You don't get the prize. And so we have to meet that official race entry. And what I want to tell you about God's word this morning is that you have been invited to that race. Your entry fee has been paid, but you have to go and get it. In Matthew chapter 11, some very uplifting and maybe calming verses in Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Understand that Jesus does not ever say, there is no yoke, there is no burden. He just tells us that that yoke and that burden is going to be worth it. It's light. The yoke is easy. The burden is light. He doesn't tell us that there's not going to be any. He just tells us that it's going to be worth it to enter into this race, that you have been invited. But understand that, yes, we have been invited, but we've been invited on the terms that Jesus has left for us. In Revelation 22 and verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." There's the invitation. "And let the one who hears say, 'Come.' And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost come." In all of those instances, Jesus is saying, "Come." Right? But it has to be on Jesus' terms. A lot of times what people want is for Jesus to come to them. "Meet me over here." And initially, Jesus will do that. Jesus will meet you where you are, give you your salvation, but He doesn't allow you to stay there. Then He says, "Come. You have to now come with me." And so we have to accept entry into this race on His terms. And so the question for us this morning is, have you answered that invitation? Have you come to Jesus? Been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins? And again, in Matthew 28, He explains this to us. As He's getting ready to ascend into heaven, Jesus gives His disciples or His apostles some instructions. And He says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." We talk about this all the time. He's staking His claim to His authority, right? "This is what I have been given. There's no other authority in heaven or on earth. I'm it." So the next thing that He says is going to be very important. He tells them, "Go and make disciples of all nations." He doesn't leave it to them to decide how to make disciples, right? These are His terms, and so they don't get to decide, we don't get to decide how we become a disciple. He tells them how to make disciples. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So Jesus Himself says, this is how you make a disciple. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Then what, Jesus? Then do we pat them on the back and wish them good luck in their journey? No, He says, teaching them. Once that's accomplished, once they're baptized, then teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. And He gives them comfort in saying, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Have we answered that call? This is how we truly get entered into the race to win the race. We're running anyway. We're in the race anyway. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that. You're in the race, but you can't win unless you've paid that entry fee, unless you've actually entered into the race through the standards that God and Jesus Christ has set for us. The next thing that I want us to look at is once we've entered the race, we've actually got to run by the rules of the race. Now, I don't know how many games I've played over at the Wilson house, but I hear there's a thing called Wilson rules sometimes that are employed. That maybe this game is played different ways elsewhere, but When Wilson rules are applied at the Wilson house, then you play by those rules. Listen, there are Huntsman rules too, not just picking on the Wilson family. We probably all have little variants of ways that we play games. For example, if you're playing the game of Monopoly, do you get the $200 when you land on go, or do you get $200 when you pass go? All of you probably have a different answer in your mind right now, because I've played it both ways and it seems like it's about 50% of the time. And I know that there's an official rule book that probably tells you when that is, but we all have our own ways of playing the game. Well, what we have to understand is when we're in somebody's home, we typically play by those rules, right? I have a friend that we call Captain Rules. that he will leave the rule book right beside him as we play any game. So that at any point, if there is a question, we can go to the official rule book and he'll read through multiple times, usually per game, and make sure that we're playing by the rules that were sent with the particular game. But we understand if we're in somebody else's home that those are the rules that we typically sit by or play by. What we have to understand is when we gain entrance into this race, we need to run by God's rules, by the rules that God and His Son have set out for us. One of the first things that we have to understand is that once we've entered the race, we need to run, right? We have to move forward. I don't know if you've ever witnessed a child in a race sit down. Have you ever seen that happen? When a child just knows that they're not going to win and they get so upset, and usually it's the younger guys. They get in a race and they know they're not going to win, and so they sit down and on the track and they want to pout. What does that do to everyone else? Well, it puts them in danger, doesn't it? Right? It's going to be a hindrance not only to them, but to others. Now, how oftentimes do we do that spiritually? Where we come across something or we get into a place where we've got some trials and some struggles and we just spiritually want to sit down. Who is that going to help? And who is that going to hinder? Right? That's going to hinder not only ourselves, but it can hinder others. I have to understand as a father, I cannot spiritually sit down. Because what is that going to do? If I'm leading my children the way that they should go and I sit down, well, they're going to run into the back of me because I'm supposed to be leading them. I'm supposed to be moving forward. And so it's a difficult job sometimes because you can't stop. You can't sit down. Things are going to happen, but you can't stop being a Christian because those things happen. You have to keep moving forward. I know the job, the office of an elder is difficult for the same reason, right? If the elders who are leading us stop, the whole congregation runs into the back of them. And again, that's why we say all the time, and I know Michael in his prayers, and I appreciate it, talks about, let's not make this more grievous to our elders than it needs to be. Let's not tempt them to stop and to sit down. Let's help keep them going as well. Now, I want you to also understand that when we talk about running, running can mean different things to different people. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, he kind of gives us three things here. Isaiah 40 and verse 31 says, "Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength." Then he says, "They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." Now, there's three different things here. It's kind of three different paces, right? And so I've kind of defined in my own way running today, spiritually running, as forward movement at your able pace. Some people can fly. Don't let that discourage you. At some point, God may be able to allow you to fly spiritually as well. Some people are going to be running. And again, God can allow you to do that at some point in time in your life. But you may be one of these walkers. I may be a walker. Physically speaking, I'm a walker. I don't fly. I don't run. Not much. I walk. Most of the time, at a slow pace. I can't even keep up with Alana when she's shopping. I walk at a slow pace. Sometimes we as Christians are going to be walking. And understand that that's okay. Because at some point we may be able to run. And at some point we may be able to fly spiritually. Think about a race today, entering into a 5K. They have all kinds of different measurements, right? So, you know, maybe 13 and under, and then, you know, 13 to 19, you know, get the teenage, and then, you know, men and women have different categories. There's all of these things because they understand that at 42, I'm probably not going to have the energy that a 19-year-old has, and they're probably going to beat me in that race, so they give me my own category, right? So that you have an opportunity to win within the confines of your ability. Listen, God is no different. God understands that there's going to be different ability with different people, but we still have to keep that forward movement. We may be flyers, we may be runners, we may be walkers, and all of those are okay at different times. But we have to understand that we need to keep that movement. In 15 and 58. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. He tells us to be steadfast, unmovable in the work of the Lord. Not unmovable in the sense that we're not moving, but unmovable in the sense that we're moving forward. We're doing things for God regardless of what's going on around us. And there are times where we will be flying. There are times where we will be walking. And there are times where we will be running. And all of those are okay. But go at the pace in which you are able and be unmovable in working for God. If we're going to do that, if we're going to keep that type of movement, then we're going to need zeal. Again, we're told in Titus chapter 2 in verse 14 that God sent His Son. His Son gave Himself to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good works. In 2 Corinthians 9, in the first two verses, again, very similar. For it is superfluous for me to write to you about this ministry to the saints, for I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the Macedonians, namely that Achaia has been prepared since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. If we have zeal, we can pass that zeal on to others. And we also need to understand that in that zeal, we need to be running on the track that God has laid out for us. There's a story of a man that I heard, a friend, that he runs a construction business, and he got an order for a house to rewire the electric in the whole house. And so He calls the person and says, you know, have your work order here. You're going to be home? No, I'm not going to be home. I'm going to leave the keys. And so he goes in and rewires the house, only to realize that he looked at two different work orders, and rewiring that particular house was not the work order. They just needed a small little bit of plumbing done in one of their bathrooms. Do you think he got paid for that wiring job? No, he did not. Because that wasn't what he was supposed to be doing. Do you think he still had to go wire the other house? He sure did. Do you think he still had to go back in and do the little bit of plumbing that he was supposed to do? Yes. It's one of my fears of going to the doctor, that I'm going to have surgery and they're going to get me mixed up with an amputee or something. That don't mix up those orders. But we have to be playing by those rules, right? We have to be running on the track that Jesus has left for us. Think about this. Do you think God would give His Son to purchase the church and then reward us for not being part of it? Think about that. God gave His Son to purchase the church so that when the Lord returns, He's going to find the church and He's going to take that church with Him. God gave His Son for that reason, for that purpose. And so His Son dies to purchase the church. Is God then going to reward us for not being part of it? Think about somebody who's running in a 100-meter dash, but runs outside the fence and beats everybody. Do they get the prize? No, of course not. Because they're not entered into the race. They're not running by the rules. If someone goes really fast in the 100 meter dash, but yet goes outside of his own lane, his own line, does he win the prize? No, because he's not running by the rules of the race. If he starts before the starter pistol goes off, does he win? No, they stop the whole race and reset everybody and bring them back. Right? Because they're not playing by the rules. They're not running by the rules. As children of God, we need to run by God's rules and not try to make up our own and not try to get to heaven some other way than God has wanted us to do that. Finally this morning, and again we'll look at three more ways tonight, but finally this morning, if we're going to run in this way, we're going to need patience. We've talked about over and over that this is a distance run. It's not a sprint. And so patience or endurance is going to be needed in running that race. In Hebrews chapter 6, just a few chapters back from our context this morning, Hebrews 6, starting in verse 11, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full hope, the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise." And so if we are going to inherit that promise, the writer of Hebrews tells us you're going to need some patience to do that. You're going to need some endurance to do that. We live in an impatient world, don't we? If you're old enough to remember when the first internet really started to come out, and I just entered college when that happened. Can you remember the startup? You know, the sound is probably going on in your mind. The dial-up sound is going on in your mind. And you remember how long it took? Can you remember what you used to do? I know what I would do. I would start it up and then, you know, go to the restroom, go get something to eat or drink or whatever that I was going to sit down with. And you know, you had things to do. And normally by the time you got back, you know, it was there and up and running. And you would click on something and you'd see, you know, a little turning thing. And it would take a little while to get there. Think you could handle that now? If it doesn't come right now, we're clicking buttons and moving the mouse around, right, and tapping on it to, you know, hurry it up, right? We have no idea. Now go before that, right? You had to actually walk into a library and look, you know, look for a book. We are in an impatient world. But when it comes to spiritual things, we can't be that way. Everything is wanted now, right? We can't wait for it. I was taught long ago by my dad. He wasn't a financial advisor, but he would tell me, you know, if you want something, save up for it and then buy it. Right? Get the money, save up for it and buy it. What do we do now? Put it on the credit card, we'll pay for it later. Let's get it now. Put it on. I know I'm turning into a financial advisor here for a moment, but we got to put it on the credit card now, get it now, and then we'll pay for it later at the back end. We've become so impatient. I don't know how many times I've heard someone, you know, utter something along the lines of, "Lord, give me patience now. Right now. I need patience right now." Right? We don't have time to build that patience. We need it now. We want it now. And all of those things take time. God wants more for us. We've talked over and over, and I tell you all the time that I love that phrase that Doy used. God loves the process, right? And that process is going to give us patience. He wants more from us. In James chapter 5, starting in verse 7, "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door." You know, we used to have a pretty, I'm not a farmer by any stretch, but we used to have a pretty big garden at home. And I can remember going out to plant corn and how I wanted it right then. Can't we just go buy some at the store? Right? You want it right now. But there's some patience that's involved if you want to get that good product. Because anybody who has had corn that you've grown yourself and corn that you buy at the store, there just is no, there's no comparison. It is, of course, better. But because we have become so impatient, we want it now, we take a little less quality to have it now. Spiritually speaking, again, we cannot do that. We can't say, well, it'll be less quality, but at least it'll be done. At least I'll have it now. We can't do that when it comes to God and to His Word. He tells us through those verses, be patient. And then in Hebrews chapter 12, in those first two verses again, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, which we'll talk a little bit about tonight, who, for the joy set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We've looked at three ways this morning in which we can help ourselves win in this race. We need to first enter the race. If you are here this morning and not a child of God, you need to enter the race so that you can run to win. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins and be entered in that race to win. We need to run in accordance with the rules of the race. And again, we don't get to decide what those rules are. It's not, you know, the home court rules, right? We have to run according to the rules that God has given us. And then we've got to be patient. We have to run with endurance. And we're going to look at three more tonight that will hopefully help us to win that race. So the question is, how are you running? And are you running? Are you in that race? And if you are in the race, how are you running? Are you running with endurance the way that God has asked you to do? Again, if you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, you've not yet been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, we encourage you to do that now. You have time and opportunity to become a child of God today, to leave this place knowing that you're entered into that race and knowing that you need to run. If you're here this morning and you are a child of God who maybe was entered into the race but aren't running, like that child, you've spiritually sat down and you're taking a break, I urge you to get up. Ask God to help you move. Ask God to get you going forward in the right direction. And again, as I said, we don't have to do this alone. We can help one another throughout that race. There are plenty of walkers, there are plenty of runners, there are plenty of flyers. We just need to be moving at our own ability and our own pace. Certainly we understand that at times physically we're going to slow down. We're not going to be able to run at a certain pace for a long period of time. There's going to be times when we can't be at a full sprint. We'll have to jog a little bit, or we'll have to walk a little bit. But spiritually speaking, we need to keep moving. And if you're having trouble with that this morning, you have time and opportunity to make those things right with your God today. If it's something you feel needs to be addressed publicly, we're here to pray with you. We're here to pray for you. And that's all we're here to do. God will forgive you. God will put you into His church. We can assist you in that by praying with you, by baptizing you if you need to be baptized, whatever it is that you need. If you're here this morning and maybe it's just something that you're still moving, but there's so many things in your way that you need help getting them out of the way and you just need prayers of the saints here, we're willing and ready to do that for you. If you're here and subject to God's call in any way, please come to the front while we stand and while we sing.